Thank you very much, Smith. Excellent presentation. Very needful presentation. And I know when we were trying to figure out what topic to give Smith, he's been at this study for so many years and been a faithful part of it that we said, well, what do you want to speak on? Because usually we give him something where he has to read like 7 or 10 brand new books and come up with a whole bigger presentation.
But that's good. I enjoyed the challenge. No complaints.
This year we gave him something a little bit more in his bag, and I think we were not disappointed at all. So open it up to questions. We'll start with Glenn Osborne.
I just want to say thank you for all the kind words you had to say about my dad. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Your mom and dad were great influences for lots of young people.
Well, I didn't realize it at the time, but my dad's view of applied parenting was to later on have a better effect. But anyway, thank you for being even a friend who encouraged me in the area. You've turned around and encouraged me in apologetics as well, which brings me to my point of what I wanted to get to. There's a book out by Daniel H. King that's only been out a couple months on the resurrection of Jesus. He did an excellent study.
I've seen the book advertised, and I haven't got it yet, but yeah. On your recommendation, I'll certainly make that a
Well, I want to recommend it to everybody. It's a brand new book. It's less than 2 months old, but the guy did a lot of documentation.
Daniel King, affiliated with Truth Magazine.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Very good. Very good work.
Wonderful presentation. Thank you so much. If you don't mind going back one slide, I just want to plug Freakish Luck and give it a second recommendation. I'm a little biased because I grew up going to church with Brother Gary McBride, but it's a phenomenal book, especially to read with people who really like to get into the weeds about the science. It really delves deep into geology and cosmology and biology and all these things. And I also hope if we all buy enough copies of it that Brother Gary will write another book that positively...
On Amazon, the price has been cut dramatically. Mm-hmm. You can buy the paperback for a little over $6. The Kindle is a little under $7. It's very reasonable. And the title maybe needs explanation. Freakish Luck. That was the statement of Richard Dawkins when, obviously, they've got the biggest jump that they have to make is the jump from non-living matter to the first living cell. How do you explain it? Where's your scientific explanation? It's freakish luck. That's what Dawkins said. And he is a strident, a pro-evolutionist, as there is. So that explains the title. But you're right. It is an excellent work. And I recommend it.
A lot of great works up there. But I would just say the best thing I think we can instill in young people is God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a sound mind. And often what your peers are looking for is just someone who's genuine, who is willing and excited to engage in these questions.
He's not afraid of the secular humanists and all their slanders and slings and arrows.
But who can also give an answer in humility, too.
Yeah. And it's going to take a little bit of reading, along with your Bible reading. But you can do it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciated that talk very much. I appreciated all the practical education. I kind of want to go back to the earlier part of your talk and... I really don't like being a commenter, so I'm going to try to comment and give you a place to launch off my comment. But I think for parents, for fathers, I'm going to talk about fathers mostly, because I mean, we look at Lois and Eunice and Timothy, and we can look at the, you know, fathers. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite in your own house. And you talked about griping at the leaders, and you know, that's part of it. but realize that our job, Proverbs 22, right? Train up a child in the way he should go and not depart from it. It means be a good example. And I think so many people have failed because they chose their marriage poorly. Even before children, they set themselves up for failure. And then we have divorce in the church because of unfaithfulness, because we chose a partner poorly. And then we have now divided homes, and we now have, we've set our children up for failure. So anyway, it's I don't mean to go off on some tangent here, but let's just make sure that we are doing the work in our home to be sure that they're set up for the greatest opportunity for success. And if you'd like to follow up and comment.
Well, I appreciate your remarks very much. All these moving parts are interconnected. Choosing a spouse wisely and choosing companions wisely and educating yourself in the Word and with men and the writings that will help you give an answer. All these things are part of a big whole, which we call Christianity, which we call a biblical worldview. And the thing is, I learned as a result of that stack of books that there are answers for the questions that I had and the difficulties that could have been become greater difficulties without those answers. And they are there. Seek them. Now, getting back to the parental example, that is so important. And you know, none of us as parents, I know me as a father was not perfect, be able to model repentance to your kids. Be willing to say, I'm sorry, Daddy blew it. That teaches them the way back when the time comes. Really, it does.
I really appreciate all the comments so far. And thank you, Brother Smith. That was excellent. I just kind of wanted to ask you from your personal experience. I think it's a good opportunity to get it on recording. People that have had success are good to model after. In your home, how did you approach incorporating like apologetics material into the curriculum, if you will, of your children? And how did you decide what to incorporate or maybe how to police that to make sure that those bones that are in the writings, to make sure those aren't stumbling blocks for your kids?
Well, number one, your kids have to be able to talk to you without fear of censure because what's the matter with your faith? You know, why are you asking questions like that? You got to be welcoming to honest little questions. The kids have to learn early on that, let's answer that. Let's figure it out. They heard my kids, Natalie and Nate, from the time they were very little. They heard me teach on, you know, that whole list of things that I had up there for congregational leaders. They heard me do that, teaching through the whole Bible. And some places I have been, I've had to persuade the brethren that this is the way to go. You want us to do chapter studies? No, I don't want you to do chapter studies. I want you to do paragraph studies. And we teach through the Bible. And we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians for the third time in the congregation at Ozark. And they've heard me teach on evidences and apologetics and all of the, you know, a few years ago at Ozark, we actually went through a series. Nate was there at the time, on the vices and the virtues of Scripture. And my father-in-law, who's the engineer, and put out the spreadsheet and had all the vices and virtues all matched up, you know, made it easy for us. And I gave them a pattern to follow. You need to find a dozen scriptures on that particular vice or virtue that you're treating. You need to come up with a negative example, someone who was guilty of that vice. You come up with a positive example, someone who was an example of a virtue, and make your points, and you've got a lesson. So, and it was really good. The teachers did well with it, and I just think that that's a good thing to do. So it's a combination of the teaching in the home. We tried to read the Bible as often as possible. We never, although I always criticize myself for this, we never accomplished what Galen and Rueda did. 7 days a week, read the Bible every night. We never did that. But we tried to do it as much as possible. And I recommend, if you can't do 7, then try for 6 or try for 5, but don't make it less than 4. try your best. And, you know, there were times when we didn't plan wisely, time got away from us, but Bible reading was very important in our home. And going to church and going to the meetings and my kids meeting other Christian kids, and that was all very important. And if a home is not doing that, my fear is that the Christians that come out of it may be very weak, or maybe not Christians. That's just my opinion.
Thank you.
I just want to encourage everybody to do that too. Not only did we learn to read often that way, you know, we had a lot of discussions that came up about translations, about what words meant. And if you've never had the wonderful blessing of seeing your dad be embarrassed about a question that he turned red all over his bald head and face, I mean, because the Bible has some very curious narratives. And it was a great joy for us to ask our mother and father, what does that mean? And, you know, the point is that opened up conversations, real conversations about virtues and about issues, about temptation, about what we encountered in life, because the Bible was very open about what was and wasn't sin. And whenever we asked our parents kind of took a gulp and explained it to us. So we never felt like we were being deceived or the truth was being covered up. It was really out front, and we got a chance to discuss it. So I just want to encourage it, because now parents can find that scary, but we found it to be, Dad would say, well, we're going to get together and just and study that more. It was opportunities that were created. So anyway, I just want to encourage you to embarrass your parents by asking questions.
Any more questions?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say,
my mom and dad never let us go stay over at night at other people's house very often, just because they knew of wickedness and things like that. But our home was big enough that mom always said, you can have friends over here. And we had always had tons of other kids at our house. Now, what that led to is them bringing their Bible. And if they didn't have one, they had one when they left.
I really don't have any concluding remarks except to say thank you very much. Obviously, there's a lot we have not even touched on, things that I might anticipated we might be talking about. That's okay. You can get my email rather easily. And of course, there's others present here tonight who can and are quite competent to answer your questions. You can communicate with me or with them, and you can, I'm not embarrassed to say, boy, that's a good question. I'll work on that and we'll get back together, because I'm interested in helping everyone, young people, people in my peer group, everyone, to a better understanding of the truth.